I can't tell you how proud I am to have these folks here. I am joined by the Upstart Crows. Welcome, everyone. You want to give us a big hello?
Thank you.
All
right. And this now, is this everybody? Just curious.
No.
Okay. Many more, right? More to add to this. But we have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven members here from the wonderful crew of the Upstart Crows. Tell us about Upstart Crows of Santa Fe and how you got started and what it's all about.
The Crows formed for about 4.5 years ago. We started with three young Santa Feans who were enthusiastic about trying some Shakespeare. We did scenes from Twelfth Night, and our next production, there were 13 people who wanted to do it. And then there were some 20-something people who wanted to do it. And most of the kids who do one of Shakespeare's plays with us come back for more. So the company is now total members. If you counted them all, we're about 50.
Wow.
We do our shows uncut with multiple casts. So Comedy of Errors at the Botanical Garden coming up features two casts of our veteran players. And then the show that Ariana's directing and now for something completely different is one cast, and many of them are newcomers.
Oh, fantastic. And tell us the age range.
Oh, 10 to 18.
10 to 18.
Although we do have an 8-year-old in our Monty Python show.
Oh, wow.
It's because her two siblings have been in the program since almost the beginning, and after sitting on the sidelines for 4 years, she just really needed to jump in.
So tell us a little bit about And Now for Something Completely Different.
It was Carol's idea last summer to do a show that combined the comedy of Monty Python with scenes from Shakespeare. And so at first we sort of thought, oh, well, we'll just make it a comedy workshop and look at what is what are the sort of threads that run through British comedy from, you know, the 1590s to the 1960s, as it were. But it sort of evolved from that into a group of scenes that all have a common theme. So at first, we have Shakespeare's take on family drama, followed by a scene that's the Monty Python's take on family drama. And it was basically sort of holding these very different art forms up together and sort of seeing where the similarities are, what we can learn that Monty Python and Shakespeare actually have in common.
And you just finished your production. Unfortunately, we missed getting you on beforehand. But tell us how that went, and we might even have some scenes from that production, correct,
yes,
that our performers are going to read for us today.
Yeah, so I really hadn't seen any of the rehearsal process, and I came to dress rehearsal, and I actually fell off my chair laughing. It was so funny. I've seen Python live a couple of times, and it made me laugh just as hard, which was amazing to me.
Yeah, absolutely. It says a lot about your wonderful crew of performers. So how about you guys? Anybody want to step forward? What did you think about combining Shakespeare with Monty Python? Were you excited about that?
I thought it was an amazing experience. I learned a whole lot about comedic timing and everything from all the rehearsals, and the people there had amazing ideas, and we created something a little different, but still, I thought it was hilarious.
Was it a collaborative kind of production?
It was absolutely. It was very much a collaborative production. I actually didn't set the scenes until we had started working together. So I came in, we had, I think, about 4 scenes that I knew I wanted to have in there, but then based on watching the kids work, I sort of thought, you know what? It would be great to see that actor play John Cleese's character in Argument Clinic. And it would be really great if we could get the Batley Towns Women's Guild with the whole cast. But there's such a wealth of their of Python's sort of television and film work. It was sort of like, where to begin? But then just based very much on the direction that the kids wanted to go, I sort of chose the scenes based on that.
And did you all have to do background research on Monty Python before you started?
Not necessarily background research, but before we would start rehearsing any scene, we were shown every scene that we were going to perform. And I think it helped quite a bit to watch them over and over just so that we could get like that full extraction of like, this is how they did it, this is how we're going to do it.
I thought it was really interesting because at first, when we were doing this at the beginning, I thought we were going to be trying to copy almost exactly what was going on, which is very different from how, because I've done Shakespeare, which there isn't really a set, it's editorial. So I thought that we were going to be copying it fairly exact to what they did in the skits, but it was really interesting finding, we do all the same lines as they do, but slightly different takes on them, and it's our own, and that's really cool.
And there's also, you know, there's a difference in medium. They were writing, most of the sketches come from their television show, and television is a very different medium from a live performance. And of course, they did perform live, and some of the sketches, but it's interesting the differences between the sketch performed for a live audience and the sketch performed for television. So it was interesting. Sometimes we had to change certain things because, oh, that won't work. We can't get a close-up on that, so how do we sort of project the reaction or whatever it is to the full audience? Yeah. So it was an interesting experiment.
Everything the Crows do is collaborative. So in the process of creating, whether it's Shakespeare or whether it's a scene show like this, all the actors have a lot of input into the blocking, into how things are played. You'll do something one week and some will come in the next week and say, oh, I've had this idea. And one of the most fun things about doing this work is you've got all these minds at work thinking about how to make it great.
Yeah, and I imagine that to some degree, a younger mind, do you guys find it's fairly easy to collaborate with each other?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where you kind of feed off each other's energy.
Especially when we have multiple casts, it allows you to see your own part being played by somebody else. And oftentimes, that's a great place for collaboration. You see them do something in a way you wouldn't have ever thought to do it, and it's brilliant, and you steal it from them.
Welcome back to Wake Up Call. I'm your host, MK. Coming up in this half, we bring you our fabulous Friday art-focused calendar of weekend events with Lindsay Taylor from the Santa Fe Botanical Gardens. But first, my interview with Santa Fe's Upstart Crows continues with some actual performances.
So this is, I think, one of the hallmarks of Monty Python was their sort of anti-establishment, and also They really were quite good at taking down sort of pompous authority figures. And so many of their sketches have to do with courtrooms and judges and authority. So this is one where it's a sort of typical courtroom drama that goes off the rails quite quickly.
I am Justin Alpucci. I'm one of the newer members of the Crows.
I'm Riley Philpott. This is my 13th production with the Crows. And I'd say the Crows is like my second family. It's just incredible.
Awesome. I'll go ahead and let you all read.
Michael Norman Randall, you have been found guilty of the murder of Arthur Reginald Webster, Charles Patrick Trumpington, Marcel Agnes Bernstein, Louis Anona Rudd, John Malcolm Kerr, Nigel Sinclair Robinson, Norman Arthur Potter, Lord Kimberley of Pretoria, Lady Kimberley of Pretoria, the Right Honorable Nigel Walmsley Kimberley, Robert Henry Noonan, and Felix James Bennett, on or about the morning of the 19th of December, 1972. Have you anything to say before I pass sentence?
Yes, sir. I am very sorry.
Very sorry?
Yes, sir. It was a very, very bad thing to have done, and I am really very ashamed of myself that I did it. I can only say that it won't happen again. To have murdered so many people and in a such short space of time is really awful, and I'm really very, very, very sorry that I did it, and also that I have taken up so much of the court's valuable time listening to the sordid details of these senseless killings of mine. I'd particularly like to say a very personal and sincere sorry to you, my lord, for my appalling behavior at the trial. I'd also like to say sorry to the police for putting them through so much trouble, for the literally hours of work they've had to put in, collecting evidence and identifying corpses and so forth. You know, sometimes I think we ought to realize the difficult and often dangerous work involved in tracking down violent criminals like myself. And I'd just like them to know that their fine work is at least appreciated. by me.
Fantastic. All right. Any other scenes you want to share with us?
Clara West is going to do part of Viola's speech from Twelfth Night.
And what I would really say about this speech, besides it being just, I think, one of the most wonderful musings on the nature of what it takes to be funny, is it? As I was writing my director's note, I realized that this speech kind of is the thesis of the show, if I were to distill it down. You have to be wise enough to be the fool.
My name's Clara West, and I've been with the Crows for 4 years. By the end of the summer, I will have done 16 productions. So this is Viola from Twelfth Night. This fellow is wise enough to play the fool, and to do that well craves a kind of wit. He must observe the mood on whom he jests, the quality of persons and the time, and like the haggard, check at every feather that comes before his eye. This is a practice as full of labor as a wise man's art. For folly, that he wisely shows, is fit, but wise men, folly fallen, quite taint their wit.
Fantastic. What about Shakespeare speaks to you as performers?
Shakespeare often is regarded, especially by teenagers, as this like impenetrable wall of like literary greatness. But I find that once you actually know what you're reading, Shakespeare is not only this beautiful, poetic, like the sonnets and the classic lyrical beauty of Romeo and Juliet, but also it's just hilarious. At a lot of moments, Shakespeare makes so many jokes. Some of them are dirty. Some of them are funny. And I find that Shakespeare, it's just really important for me that people my age and people who have never been able to understand Shakespeare can appreciate it.
So I am a pretty socially awkward person usually. And when I joined, I had no acting experience at all. And I only knew a little bit about, the play at the time was A Midsummer Night's Dream. I only knew a little bit about it, but it was, the group was so fantastic. And once you get the words in your hands, if they don't make sense at first, there's something deeper in you that makes sense of them. And I don't know how it happens, but it really fits.
What's the key to performing Shakespeare well?
I personally think the key of performing Shakespeare well is, even if your audience has no idea how to like read or understand Shakespeare, it's the emotion and the bodily language that the actor puts into the words that really makes the audience understand what they're saying, even if they don't understand the words. They understand the emotion.
Yeah, we put a huge emphasis on the actors understanding the words. Mm-hmm. So the audience doesn't have to be fully versed in Elizabethan English, because the people playing to them are.
No, I've devoted 18 years of my life to Shakespeare, and there's seemingly no end to how far you can go. And I think that, for me, is the joy. There's no way to distill it down to something that's an easily, you know, tweetable nugget of information. It's so complex, and it requires a kind of discipline to really delve into it and understand what you're saying and try and understand why you're saying what you're saying and what is motivating your character. And as a professional actor, it's probably why I always gravitate towards doing Shakespeare, because the characters are just so well written. There's so much investigation that's just ripe right there on the page.
It's getting off the cell phones and getting into the literature and into each other. What was that like?
I can honestly say far more enriching. At first, I found that, like, you know, just going through the motions, memorizing, it can feel a little bit boring. But I think, and I don't know if they'll agree with me, but I think they will, at a certain point in every play, you sort of have this little moment when you're just, like, it clicks. And suddenly everything becomes so much more, like, fun and entertaining than I think like you can have on Instagram or on Twitter, because there's just, like Ariana was saying, there's this wealth of information and of knowledge and understanding that's just right there for you.
There's also so much freedom in Shakespeare. He doesn't write everything explicitly on the page. He doesn't say cross here, point here. The actors can choose what they want to do with it. There's just so much freedom.
I do like the opportunity to express myself more freely and more complexly. And the great thing about Shakespeare is that he gives you that tool. It's not just an art to me. It's a tool. You can use the language once you start understanding it better and you have a better feel for what he's trying to express, then you can express it how you want to. And in that sense, it can make every production its own thing. There can be all these different meanings in every production you go see.
So Justin, who was just speaking, is the apprentice director for Comedy of Errors. And when we got our script together, put it online, it's accessible to everybody. And Justin just started going through the entire play line by line and making comments. And so on any given day, my email box would just be totally full of Justin's comments on the iambic pentameter and why is it only 9 beats here? And this is, looks like a dramatic pause. And I had such a great time working with him on this play. Comedy of Errors performs at the Botanical Garden this weekend, July 26th and 27th, Friday and Saturday at 6. And then the next weekend, August 2nd and 3rd, that's Friday and Saturday at 6. And we'll have a little pre-show talk and then do the performance. We've got two different casts doing it. You can find out everything you want to know about the Crows on our website, upstartcrowsofsantafe.org. And you can buy tickets to the show there. We encourage people to come and bring a picnic or buy some of either. We're going to do Mediterranean cuisine for our concessions this time so people can have sort of a Comedy of Errors picnic. But come on down and enjoy the show and the beautiful setting.
Fantastic. I want to ask how your involvement in Upstart Crows of Santa Fe has changed your life.
I've met so many amazing people. I've had amazing experiences. Actually, this last summer we went to Canada and spent 4 days there. We did workshops there and we stayed in a hotel and it was like a great bonding thing and it was amazing.
That was the Stratford Festival we went to together.
When I first started doing Shakespeare with the Crows, I was like very timid and I was kind of like terrified of Shakespeare because it was like so big and kind of confusing. But then once you just get the hang of it, it's just so amazing and you really feel like you are the characters.
When I started, I was really shy. And my brother was in this like several shows before I was, and I refused to even like go to the intros to even watch. So I got into it because Isaac was in it and I really wanted to be part of the community. So I'd have to say it's given me a lot of confidence to be able to do whatever it is I feel like I need to do.
And Zoe is playing one of the leads in Comedy of Error.
I don't really remember exactly how I showed up, but it has been amazing, and it's had such an impact on who I am, because not only the characters, every one of them makes me more myself somehow. Also, the people, it's just an amazing group of people, and there's no really hierarchy or any social climbing. You're all in it together, and you all are caring about the same goal. So it's really amazing.
The community is really one of the most amazing things that I think I've ever been a part of. Everyone is so supportive. We're all friends. We all laugh at things in rehearsals. We all will talk together when we have breaks. And just, like, it's a really safe and welcoming and also fun community to be a part of. Also, I think that it just gives, I know for me, it's a really vital creative outlet for me. Like, just being able to act and to go to this safe space where I know that everyone there supports me is just really, really amazing for me.
I think it's been really enjoyable to look back into the past and see how it applies to the present with Shakespeare today.
Monty Python was what drew me to the Crows at first, which was probably not what it's an unusual program for us to be doing. So it's like I joined for Monty Python, and now it's Shakespeare everywhere else, and it was all bizarre and there's strange language. But after I got more settled in, it's really this kind of cathartic experience to be able to not just express myself creatively through these characters and these scenes, but to work with all these amazing people together. It really is this collaborative effort. It's And that's probably the most fun thing about it, is that we all get to shape this into our own little smorgasbord of creativity and then throw it out into the world at some point or another.
So this is an early scene from Comedy of Errors, which is a comedy of mistaken identities. And we have two brothers separated close to birth named Antipholus. They're both named Antipholus, and they have these servants, Dromio, and they're both named Dromio, and they're twins. And they come together on this island, and they keep missing connections and meeting the wrong person and getting very, very confused until the end of the play. So this is one of the first meetings of the wrong Dromio and the wrong Antipholus.
My name is Emma Carter. I've been with the Crows for probably nearing 4 years now.
And I am Isaac Mariner. I've been with the Crows for 4 years.
He that commends me to mine own content commends me to the thing I cannot get. I to the world am like a drop of water that in the ocean seeks another drop, who, falling there to find his fellow forth, unseen, inquisitive, confounds himself. So I, to find a mother and a brother, in quest of them, unhappy, lose myself. Here comes the almanac of my true date. What now? How chance thou art returned so soon?
Returned so soon, rather approached too late. The capon burns, the pig falls from the spit. The clock hath strucken 12 upon the bell. My mistress made it 1 upon my cheek. She is so hot because the meat is cold. The meat is cold because you come not home. You come not home because you have no stomach. You have not no stomach, having broke your fast. But we that know what 'tis to fast and pray are penitent for your default today.
Stop in your wind, sir. Tell me this, I pray. Where have you left the money that I gave you?
Oh, 6 pence that I had a Wednesday last to pay the saddler for my mistress Crupper. The saddler kept had it, sir. I kept it not.
I am not in a sportive humor now. Tell me, and dally not, where's the money? We being strangers here, how darest thou trust so great a charge from thine own custody?
I pray you jest, sir, as you sit at dinner. I, from my mistress, come to you in post. If I return, I shall be post indeed, for she will score your fault upon my pate. Methinks your maw like mine should be your clock, and strike me home without and strike you home without a messenger.
Come, Dromio, come. These jests are out of season. Reserve them till a merrier hour than this. Where is the gold I gave in charge to thee?
To me, sir? Why, you gave no gold to me.
Come on, sir knave, have done your foolishness, and tell me how thou hast disposed thy charge.
My charge was but to fetch you from the mart, home to your house, the Phoenix, sir, to dinner. My mistress and her sister stays for you.
And, of course, there's some wonderful stage violence that is worked into that. So do come to the Botanical Garden and see it all.
A big hand to you. Give yourselves a round of applause, and thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.